Be curious to know if any of the trails out there or the playground areas are opened.
I think all the state parks have been closed, but I'm not real sure if what all that entails.
Mm-hmm. And of course, as the information becomes available, that will be shared on the different websites that we've talked about. Again, I just wanted to reiterate that information is available on the City of Moorhead's Facebook page, the Rowan County Fiscal Court Facebook page, the Rowan County School District's Facebook. John Maxey's Twitter page is my favorite place to go because he does tweet often and get the information out there very quickly. If you as a resident feel concerned and think that you may be experiencing symptoms of the coronavirus before you go anywhere, call the poison control number, which is 800-722-5725. And give them a call. They can answer your questions before you go into public. It's important that our residents don't panic and go into, maybe go, if you do have this virus, you don't want to go somewhere like the emergency room and wait in an emergency room full of people and infect them all just while you're waiting. So make that call first. And again, check the back of your insurance card. A lot of insurance agencies are offering telehealth services, and that may be a way to get some information or to quickly screen or check if there is some other illness that needs to be taken care of. Also, the local pharmacies are being very accommodating when it comes to prescriptions. I know a few of my friends have been able to pick up a 3 months of worth of prescription instead of just 1 month of prescription for certain medications in order to keep them from having to go into the community. And again, both our biggest grocers with Kroger and Walmart offer pickup service when you are making your online orders. You do have to go into Walmart to pick up your stuff, but at least that's faster than having to wander about the store. And both those sites offer on their website that you can get more information about that. Is there anything else that any of you would like to share with our residents, Harry?
I certainly would like to share with our business partners, if you will. Round County, we're going to relax our sick and leave and vacation time policies because now we hadn't anticipated school being out. So some parents both work. So one of them may need to stay home for daycare. So I just ask everybody to be patient and be a little more relaxed in your policies for your employees. Because, you know, it's a difficult time for them, and it's certainly a difficult time if you're trying to look for daycare. It's a difficult time to look for someone to take care of an elder person. So everybody needs to just, be a little more patient, and we'll work through this. One thing about Round County, we differ in many ways, politics. We don't like the way who drives what kind of car. We even argue over who's got the prettiest child. But at the end of the day, we pull together as community, and we really just work together as a community of helping hands. And that's certainly why I love this place, and I think that's why we all live here. Your safety and security is at the absolute top of the priority. We will withhold nothing from you, and as soon as we get accurate information, we will present it to you.
I think that's a really important point to reiterate. Try to keep from spreading misinformation. If you're talking about the local community, as we've discussed, there are websites and social media pages on Facebook and Twitter that you can check that are verified accounts. If you're not already following those accounts, definitely go ahead and do so now so you don't see the misinformation. There are people out there who enjoy spreading panic, and they are already hard at work. And it behooves you as a member of this community to take the time to make sure that you're getting your information from a credible source. And, of course, these individuals who are here today want to make sure that you know where to get that information and how to share it. and we hope that you will take the time to do so. So Mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown, Judge Executive Harry Clark, and Superintendent John Maxey, thank you all for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday. Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 58 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
Maysville Community and Technical College will be transitioning to online instruction.
Kentucky's first confirmed coronavirus case will likely be released from the hospital.
State officials say it could be weeks before commercial COVID-19 testing is available in Kentucky.
Voting rights activists are calling for legislation to make it easier for Kentuckians to vote.
Local grocery store chains are disappearing across the country.
Two attorneys and a judge have been nominated to fill a judicial vacancy on the Kentucky Court of Appeals.
A former Kentucky jailer has been sentenced after being convicted of perjury.
One person was killed in an early morning crash in Bourbon County.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 35. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
With the threat of coronavirus in the region, Maysville Community and Technical College will be transitioning to online instruction. Beginning March 16th, MCTC online classes will continue as normal, with all face-to-face and hybrid classes delivered online. MCTC President Dr. Stephen Vasek says the most difficult classes to transition online are those in the vocational fields. MCTC will provide some open lab settings.
Individuals and small groups can come in at a time. We won't be clustering folks together at the same time. We want to try to minimize exposure as much as we can. And for nursing, where we can still do clinicals, we're going to do that. Some places have basically said they don't want to take students right now. We certainly are respectful of that, understand that. But the places where we can continue to do those things, we're going to.
Vasek says MCTC's top priority is the health of students, faculty, and staff. All non-essential college-sponsored events will be canceled through March 30th. MCTC will continue to monitor the situation to determine if the cancellations should be extended.
Kentucky's first confirmed COVID-19 patient will likely be released from the hospital. Officials say the patient took two tests 24 hours apart and both came back negative. Harrison County health leaders found out about the first case last week. Since then, Harrison County officials have been working closely with state leaders to prevent further spread of the virus. Dr. Crystal Miller with the Wedco District Health Department tells WKYT healthcare workers are monitoring all aspects of the issue.
If we have a positive case, we quarantine them to their home for 14 days if they are not in a medical facility. And then what we do on our investigative side is we reach out to all of those contacts where that person has been for the past 14 days, and we begin peeling back the layers to figure out where they've been, what they've been exposed to, and make contacts through our positive case.
None of the 70 people who could have been exposed to a patient with the virus are showing signs of COVID-19. Dr. Miller says the symptoms of coronavirus are similar to the flu, and medical professionals ask people to self-isolate and rest at home if they have flu-like symptoms.
State officials say it could still be weeks before commercial testing for COVID-19 is available in Kentucky. Right now, Kentucky's state lab is the only place that can evaluate samples for the virus in the Commonwealth, and it was not built for large-scale testing in mind. To date, the maximum number of tests it's performed in a day is 20. Here's Public Health Commissioner Dr. Stephen Stack.
There's frustration out there. I hear that. I look up at the cameras. I hear that. There's frustration. We are doing all the tests we can for the ones that give us the most useful information to either help immediately patients who are sick or to help keep other people safe. But we absolutely rely on the academic centers and then the larger commercial labs to get up to speed as quickly as possible. And that's something entirely outside the Commonwealth of Kentucky's control.
As for the kits currently on hand, they number in the hundreds, not thousands. Officials say for the time being, it's enough to handle the cases which are being referred for testing according to the CDC guidelines, but it's far from supplying a full picture of the state of an outbreak. Still, Stack says even if the state had those stats on hand, it would not change many of the common sense precautions the state is recommending as it looks to head off a run on hospitals.
Governor Andy Beshear held a press conference yesterday regarding the coronavirus and how it will be affecting schools in the Commonwealth. The governor announced, in addition to two new positive tests in Jefferson and Fayette counties, another COVID-19 test has come back positive in Harrison County. That brings the state total to 11 cases. One person in Rowan County has tested negative for the virus. Beshear said more confirmed cases could be coming as state labs complete tests. Beshear also recommended that all Kentucky schools temporarily stop in-person classes for the safety of students.
It's at least 2 weeks, and we want to see how things develop. If you have spring break that third week, we're asking people to go ahead and take those 3 weeks. We've got to see where it's going, and I believe that there ought to be preparation that it may have to be longer. And what we've got to do is what it takes.
The interim education commissioner said he supports the governor's recommendation. The governor supports a new bill moving through the legislature that would allow school districts to have 10 more non-traditional instruction days for kids to learn at home and for teachers to teach at home.
The Ohio Valley Conference has given an update to its policies amidst coronavirus concerns. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
The Ohio Valley Conference Board of Presidents have announced that, effective immediately, OVC member institutions will suspend athletic-related activities, including all competition and formal practices until further notice due to the COVID-19 public health threat. All recruiting-related travel is also suspended until April 3rd, at which time the impact of that ban will be evaluated. The main priority of the OVC is to ensure the health and safety of our student-athletes, coaches, and administrators. The league will continue to monitor all relevant information on COVID-19 on a daily basis. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Ohio leaders are hopeful the spread of the coronavirus will not overshadow the importance of the upcoming primary election. Officials have been working with health departments to help reduce the risk of coronavirus transmission on Election Day, March 17th. Those efforts include moving 125 polling locations from senior living centers and ensuring best practices for sanitizing polling equipment. Jen Miller with the League of Women Voters of Ohio says there is still time to vote by absentee ballot.
They can print those off online from the Secretary of State's site, and they need to mail those requests in by Saturday at noon, and then they need to postmark the return ballot by March 16th.
Country Boards of Election will also be accepting curbside drop-off of absentee ballots during regular voting hours on Election Day.
The coronavirus pandemic is impacting horse racing in Kentucky. KNN's Paul Miles has more.
The remaining races of Turfway Park's winter and spring meet will be held without fans. That includes Saturday's Jeff Ruby Stakes. Keeneland's spring meet will open April 2nd without spectators. The Lexington track will consider reopening to fans on April 15th. Keeneland has also canceled its April 2-year-old's sale. The Kentucky Derby is still scheduled as planned for the first Saturday in May, but Churchill Downs officials are not ruling out postponing the race. With the Derby still 7 weeks away, a decision will be made closer to May 2nd. I'm Paul Miles.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Voting rights advocates are calling for action on legislation that would make it easier and more convenient for Kentuckians to vote, including bills that would allow same-day voter registration at the polls and automatic voter registration when applying for a driver's license. Additionally, Senate Bill 62 would amend the Kentucky Constitution to restore voting rights to people with certain types of felonies after serving their time, probation, and parole. Elena Combs is a Jefferson County resident with a felony conviction who voted for the first time last November after petitioning the governor. She says the process gave her a voice.
So when we look at voting rights and we look at the populations of people who are excluded, you're mostly looking at poor and black and brown communities.
Senate Bill 62 recently passed in the House Elections and Constitutional Amendments Committee. Kentucky has the third highest voter disenfranchisement rate in the country, according to data from the Sentencing Project.
Kentucky's top taxpayer watchdog says elected officials need to exercise greater transparency when using the state's aircraft. As WUKY's Josh James explains, the call comes after the release of a report documenting travel by former Governor Matt Bevin.
Auditor Mike Harmon says just 16 of the 309 flights taken by the previous governor and lieutenant governor on state-operated aircraft had a stated purpose. But that's in line with current law. Officials are not required to disclose the reason for flights taken on state police aircraft, which accounted for the vast number of flights taken by Bevin. Harmon says that should change, and he's advocating the General Assembly work to document flights taken by the governor and lieutenant governor for official or non-official business. This is what Governor Andy Beshear had to say.
We are using that state aircraft in a 100% official manner. If the legislature wants to put some of that transparency into law, I'm fully supportive of it.
Facing criticism over the use of the plane in 2019, former Governor Bevin released a log listing the purposes of his official trips on state aircraft. But the Lexington Herald-Leader reports the new audit found the administration's internal system for reimbursing the state for non-official flight time was not shared with Kentucky State Police or the Transportation Cabinet. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
Local grocery store chains are rapidly disappearing across the country, either bought up by large corporations or squeezed out of business by retailers like Walmart, Target, and Amazon. Some critics say that's a problem for local food producers, other local businesses, and workers. John Steinman is the author of Grocery Story, The Promise of Food Co-ops in the Age of Grocery Giants. He says most people are in the dark about who owns their local supermarket and how that affects their local farmers.
When food producers have to start dealing with and negotiating with companies with distant head offices, the retailer starts to gain more and more power and less interest in the future of those food producers.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in 2016, the top four food retailers were Walmart, Kroger, Albertsons, and Ahold Delhaize, a Netherlands-based company that owns Food Lion and Giant stores.
Two attorneys and a judge have been nominated to fill a judicial vacancy on the Kentucky Court of Appeals. The Judicial Nominating Commission announced yesterday the nominees are Jason Colthrop Jr. of Paducah, Chris McNeil of Paducah, and Renee Williams of Dixon. The person chosen will serve on the 1st Appellate District, Division 1, which is composed of 24 counties in western Kentucky. The governor has 60 days to appoint one of the nominees to succeed Christopher Shay Nickel, who was elected in November to the Supreme Court.
A former Kentucky jailer has been sentenced to spend a year in jail after being convicted of perjury. The Paducah Sun reports that Graves County Circuit Judge Tim Stark told former McCracken County jailer Tanya Ray during her sentencing on Thursday that public officials have to be held accountable. He said a sentence of probation would, quote, unduly depreciate the seriousness of the offense. A jury convicted Ray in January on one count of perjury. Stark said he would look favorably on any request for shock probation, which can be filed 30 days after incarceration.
A man wanted in a fatal shooting last week near Transylvania University's campus turned himself in this morning to Lexington police. Police tell LEX 18 32-year-old Chantel Watson was served a warrant for murder. Authorities accuse Watson in the shooting death of 44-year-old Larry Rose Jr. on March the 6th.
One person was killed in an early morning crash in Bourbon County. It happened around 4:30 a.m. on U.S. 460, about a mile from the bypass in Paris. A car appeared to crash before catching on fire. Bourbon County Emergency Management Director Lloyd Campbell said one person was found deceased inside the car. U.S. 460 is closed until further notice.
There are new details regarding a 2018 shooting inside a Taco Bell in Grayson. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has more.
According to the Ashland Independent, 34-year-old Albert Callahan is scheduled for trial April 7th in connection with the shooting on February 20th of 2018. Callahan has been held at the county jail on no bond since the day of the shooting. According to the witness statements found in the case file, after employees at the restaurant tried to break up the fistfight between Callahan and the victim, Callahan pulled out a pistol and shot the victim several times in the torso. When police arrived, the victim was found bleeding and in serious condition. Grayson police and sheriff units later tracked down Callahan to his home and apprehended him. A statement from another witness shows Callahan and the victim were involved in opening a head shop in town. Tensions mounted as Callahan had to quit his job and take over the daily operations of the company. Also around this time, the victim bought a motorcycle off of Callahan and there was a brief dispute over the price. 31st Circuit Commonwealth Attorney Brandon Eisen says as far as he knows, the case is ready to move forward into trial. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight partly cloudy with a low around 35. Saturday, a 90% chance of showers mainly after 9 a.m. with a high near 44. Saturday night, an 80% chance of showers mainly before 11 p.m. with a low around 35. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 49. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 56. Monday night, a 20% chance of rain, otherwise cloudy with a low around 43. Now taking a look at some of the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's currently 55 degrees in Lexington, 56 degrees in Winchester and Mount Sterling, 60 degrees in Ashland, 62 degrees in Inez, and it's 58 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, in recovery from Super Tuesday, a strange and awful disappointment haunts the mind of Dr. John Modaff.
About half the world's population is male and about half is female. So when the UN reported the other day that a bit more than half the world's population thinks men make better leaders, the figures must have included some women who thought so. This measurement was brought up in the context of Senator Warren pulling out of the Democrat presidential primaries. The article spun the United Nations stats into an answer as to why Professor Warren is splitting off from the race. Come on. A woman is not on the ballot for the Democrat candidacy for one reason and one reason only. Democrats, including some women, refused to put one there. Not the world, not the UN, not systemic sexism or anything like that. Democrat voters took her down, along with all of the other women and all of the minority candidates that were once running. Democrats stripped the field down to two, dare I say it, two men. And not just any men. Starting with a field more diverse than any we've seen ever running for the nomination, one by one, the non-white, non-male, non-ancient candidates were executed by Democrat voters. The people rejected the women, the people rejected protected minorities, and the people were Democrats. What could possibly be going on when such a diverse field is reduced to two men? Too white, too elderly, too establishmentarian. Let's face it, both of them have been around forever. What happened? To quote Hillary, but adding a question mark. Why have Democrat voters turned from the party's revolution for women and other commonly identified marginalized groups? Why have Democrats marginalized the marginalized? Could it be that, despite the tumescent rhetoric about standing for people on the margins, fighting for equity for all groups, and believing that men in general are the problem, not the solution to all sorts of things, could it be that Democrat voters have either not caught up with the party, or even more scary, that they know where the party is but don't wish to go there? I imagine Democrat strategists and platform authors sitting around a table covered with spilled coffee, stunned as they look at one another, mouthing in shocked silence. Two old white men, this is what we've got. Men are bad enough, but old men are the worst. Everyone knows they're, you know, old, and old is bad, at least when it comes to men, and particularly to white men. Why, even Bernie is accused of warning Warren that a woman could not win. And Biden, well, his proclivity for petting the hair and bodies of women of all ages who are not family is just another sign he's one of those men. So how did Joe and Bernie survive in such a diverse, young, energetic, capable field overflowing with underrepresented members of marginalized groups? Democrats in the main just don't seem to believe anyone can do better than an old white man. And that's disappointing. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:56 and 57 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose sharply in volatile trading as Wall Street rebounded from the sharp losses suffered in the previous session, which, of course, yesterday was the worst day since Black Monday in 1987. But today, a totally different story, with the Dow Industrials up 1985.68 at 23,186. The S&P 500 was up 230.31 at 2710.95. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 672.43 at 7874.23. And the averages posted their biggest one-day gain since October 2008. Equities rallied to their session highs after President Trump also said that 50,000 new coronavirus tests will be available next week. Trump also said he asked the Energy Department to purchase oil for the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, boosting oil prices. Stocks surged also on the possibility of fiscal stimulus from the U.S. government and others around the world. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said today that the White House and Congress were nearing a deal, and the president is absolutely committed that this will be an entire government effort, and that the administration would be working with the House and Senate. And the Federal Reserve also released more details on its funding measures today. And, of course, these funding measures were first announced earlier this week. House Speaker Pelosi said U.S. lawmakers in the White House were close to a deal on economic relief amid the coronavirus outbreak. And she said that the House have resolved their differences with Trump and his administration. And she said that it's also about testing. And in the commodities markets today, oil did have a nice rebound, finishing up 1.78% at $32.09 a barrel. Gold was actually down 3.5% at $1,527.55 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 1.4%. Asia was actually weak overnight, with the Nikkei down 6% and the Shanghai Composite down 1.25%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bancorp up $4.41 at $33.81, Kroger up $1.59 at $30.71, CSX up $4.53 at $57.94, Marathon Petroleum up $2.03 at $24.92, and PPL Energy was up 80 cents to finish at $27.43. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Morehead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook, and online at moreheadrecycling.org.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Cody Robinson, Michael Green, Rachel Turner, and Chaz Jenkins. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bard Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All